You are listening to the Winning Edge podcast, where each week we have a conversation with a different member of the Winning Edge Business Networking Chapter located in Spring Hill, Florida.
Welcome to this episode of the Winning Edge podcast. I'm your host for this episode, Chris Chambers, and I'm joined per usual with Mr. Andrew Chamberlain of Jericho Road Ministries. What is up, Andrew?
Hey, Chris, how are you today?
Good, man. So we had started last week, we had started looking at this Jim Collins kind of business classic, Good to Great. And in this book, Good to Great, we talked through what he calls the flywheel concept. We spent a couple of episodes kind of going through the flywheel concept. He breaks that flywheel concept into two sections. He calls it the buildup, and then the company eventually gets through the breakthrough, right? He even breaks that down into three sections. Under the buildup, you have disciplined people, starting with disciplined people, and then it moves to disciplined thought. And then the breakthrough happens when we have disciplined action and we're able to sustain that moving forward. And again, we talked about that flywheel concept. So if you're kind of uncertain as to what we're talking about, definitely encourage you to go back and take a listen to those previous two episodes there. But what we wanted to do, what we mentioned, is we're going to go through each one of these concepts one by one. If any of our members of the Winning Edge want to join us to talk through any of these concepts, let us know. Again, and we'll be looking at confronting the brutal facts probably next week. We're looking at culture of discipline and technology accelerator. So if anybody wants to join us for that. And also I mentioned this morning in our chapter meeting that 20-mile march that you turned me on to from Jim Collins' other book called Great by Choice. Very good concept, very cool concept, and actually really neat that you use that concept even on a daily or weekly basis. So anyhow, with that being said, what we're going to be looking at today is level five leadership. So with that being said, Andrew, why don't you take it away, man?
Yeah. So again, in that that breakdown of the flywheel, like you said, this is kind of where we need to start with. And if you are the leader of your business, it doesn't really matter where you are in the business. Now, obviously, a lot of us in our chapter of BNI, we are the chief leader of whatever we're doing. But regardless of that, to some extent, wherever you are, this concept is for companies, again, using Jim Collins' disciplined approach of research. He looked at what set these companies apart. And the first thing he really came to was their leaders and who they had and what that blend of that was. And so we have this triangle. It's a hierarchy triangle that kind of gives us five different levels. So I'm going to read those. And what I thought we could do is kind of talk through them. And I think it's interesting, even when you get to level one, this is not somebody who is just a run-of-the-mill person, but this just really separates that idea of good to great. So level one says, a highly capable individual makes productive contributions through talent, knowledge, skills, and good work habits. Level two, contributing team member, contributes individual capabilities to the achievement of a group, objectives, and works effectively with others in a group setting. Three, a competent manager organizes people and resources toward the effective and efficient pursuit of predetermined objectives. Four, effective leader catalyzes commitment to and vigorous pursuit of a clear and compelling vision, stimulating higher performance standards. And then level five, and this is the one that we should all be after, and it is a journey to get to this. Level five builds enduring greatness through a paradoxical blend of personal humility and professional will. So let's start at the bottom here, level one, okay? A highly capable individual. When I see this, I kind of think of, I personally think of an individual, and I can think of even a seasons of my life where, we know what we're doing, we know these different things, we're kind of maybe starting out, or we've got a little experience under our belt, but we know what we're doing. But notice in there, there's not a lot of bringing other people around that. It's more of just a, hey, I just know what it is. I'm not, leading others that way. So with that in mind, think through that concept for just a moment. It's not wrong to be productive. It's not wrong to have these knowledge and skills, but why is this a challenging thing, Chris? If we're going to lead a business, specifically, if it's going to be more than us, if we're going to grow it to scale, why would it be challenging, obviously, to stay at a level one?
So a couple things. When we're looking at this, I would say we would be looking internally, right, at ourselves, number one, but we also want to look at who's in our business with us. And again, that's where he goes next, the first who, then what. And so he'll get that in the kind of the next concept. But it starts here, and obviously in our businesses, we want to make sure that we have highly capable individuals. Like I think you and I, if we go back in our lives to when we were younger, right, we're coming out of high school, coming out of college, whatever, you're getting those first jobs, and you're doing what you can. It says here to make productive contributions, right, at different levels. And so you're always looking to do that. And so, you know, your priorities are in the right place. You're making sure that you're contributing to whatever venture you're a part of, whether it be a business or otherwise. And you're using whatever talent that you've been given, the knowledge, and again, lifelong learning as far as B&I goes, we want to make sure we're continuing to teach ourselves new things. We want to learn and hone in on new skills, and obviously, you know, continue to not just create good work habits, but also to continue to implement those good work habits. And then as we are growing up and becoming a leader, again, hopefully heading towards that level 5 type of a leader that he talks about, hopefully we're able to train those individuals in our different businesses, right, where they're able to also do the same types of things. So ideally, you know, that's kind of what we are looking at. Not sure if that's exactly where you were going, but.
You did a great job. You did a great job, you know, putting some more meat on that. I think the question still, why, you know, I'm asking, like, why we can't stay at level 1 if we want to be great. As good as those things are, so why can't we not stay there? And I think the most glaring thing on that page is you're not leading others; you're just leading yourself.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Would you agree with that?
Yeah, 100%, 100%. Yeah. And one thing I did want to mention. One thing I did want to mention about this model here is in these big companies, these big, you know, productive, successful companies that Jim Collins and his group studied, really what they were looking at, these businesses that went from good to great, right? And these businesses that never really made it to that great level. They were good, they were solid, they were successful, but they never made it to that next level. And the thing that really differentiated those companies was their leaders. You had level 5 leaders at these great companies. You had level 4 leaders or below at these other ones. But generally, that's kind of where the big distinction comes in. But absolutely, you got to be leading others, not just leading yourself. You have to be able to lead others. Yeah, no, I agree with that.
And so as we move through this, I want to make sure it's very clear that a level 1, if you're there, I think that's fine, but that's just not where you want to stay. You know, you've got to be able to lead yourself before you can lead others. You've got to be able to be productive. You got to be able to make contributions that's really helping whatever industry or whatever thing you're in. But the idea, again, that you've stressed so well, and I won't spend too much time there, is, but if you want to become truly great, according to this, the exceptional, I mean, we're talking, how many companies were in this? Like 11? It's not, I can't remember the exact number, but it's not many. You know, we're talking supreme up there. You got to move on for that. But again, that's a good place to start. You've got to be able to be productive. You got to have some knowledge. You got to have good work habits. I think that good work habits is probably one of the biggest things here, because you know you can learn a lot of things, but you got to be able to build that character to be able to work it out. All right, so let's move to level 2. It's a contributing team member. Now, this is where we start to see that idea of you are now not just a silo, you are working with individuals. And so I want to be careful, because there's some people in our group that are sole proprietors, and there's nothing wrong with that, by no means. So don't hear that you have to have team members just to be great, by no means, but the vast majority of companies are more than one person. You know, I shouldn't say the vast majority, many companies are more than one person. So this is where we get to level 2. It's not just now the individual, but you are what? You're contributing to other individuals becoming effective. It's not that you're leading them yet. And so that's a big being able to discern that, like, leading them is working through them or guiding them and shaping them. But this is more coming alongside of and saying, you know what, I'll take part A, you take part B, and then together we'll make a complete project. That's how I see level 2. I think it's a good thing, but again, it's not sufficient to lead an organization with, you know, multiple people.
Yeah, and take it away, Chris. Yeah, I would say here too, you know, even as a sole proprietor, even someone who works alone and is able to, you know, build his or her business in that manner, still you could be a part, like, for example, the Winning Edge, right? This fantastic group of individuals where you come and you contribute to the well-being of this group. And it doesn't just have to be this. There's a lot of different things we can contribute to, whether it be your church or so on and so forth. So there's a lot of ways that you can be a contributing team member. A part of that, we mentioned lifelong learning a moment ago, but being teachable, I think, is important at this level as well, so that we know how others, how to interact with others, how to work alongside with others. And I agree with you. And I would say that you have to be able to follow before you're going to be able to lead, right? And this is one of those areas where you're going to start to really kind of see that. You have that capability.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Moving to the next one, we have a competent manager. And notice this. This is, because level four is going to call it a leader. This one's a manager. And he's not, and this is a point that he makes in this book, and I think he makes in other books as well. Manager is not a term. It's not a derogatory term. Sometimes in business books, you can kind of hear that, and it almost sounds like a derogatory manner, has a derogatory tone to it, like, they're not as good or whatever. That's not the point. But the point is, there's still a difference between managing someone and leading them. And so the way he puts this out in the level three is someone who organizes people. If you look at level four, an effective leader, they catalyze people. So there's, I think that's the difference. You know, a level three person is somebody who maybe is getting the vision from, they're not coming up with the vision, or maybe they're inheriting a vision, who knows? And they are figuring out how to get people under that and managing how, okay, you need to do this, you need to do that. And before we move past this one, by all means, this is a very important thing. Very important. It's a very important step in this process. But again, if we only stay here in this managing, and we only stay in this idea of not really being that catalyst that energizes people to move forward together, then we won't get to that level five. But we don't want to bypass level three. It's an important component. So add in some information there.
Yeah, I would say here, again, I've worked under different managers. Some managers very, very good at what they do, and some not so much. I would say one of the areas here, when you get to that management level, you there's some individuals that feel like, hey, I finally have some authority or power, over other individuals, whether it be hiring, firing, or even just supervising. And sometimes you have this kind of weird kind of power trip that you can see these individuals get to. And certainly if that's your mentality, hey, I am now your boss, right? Then when it comes to that next piece that you mentioned, effective leadership and catalyzing, it's never going to happen. If that's your attitude or mentality, is I'm here and I'm going to lord over you, right? You're never going to catalyze somebody to be their best. So that would be one thing. And again, we need, for businesses need competent managers in order to run properly. However, what we're talking about is this, again, this leadership track that Jim Collins is talking about. And ultimately you have to get beyond that. And I would say one of the ways to do that is to be what we call a servant leadership, where you're kind of leading or serving from the front. You're not simply telling people what to do. Hey, get behind, you're actually leading and you're doing it by example. One of the other things that, I talk about with some of my clients sometimes who have been supervisors or managers, where you a working supervisor, or were you just kind of telling people what to do, right? And I would say that's one of those things as well. If they see you kind of digging in, getting your hands dirty, they're much more likely to follow you. And then again, that leads to that catalyzation that can take place at level four.
Yeah. So moving to that one, we've talked about that. I think you did a great job there saying that, hey, you're out front, you're a servant, you're getting your hands dirty. All those are great images to see what a level four looks like. Level four then catalyzes. And I think the big part there that we need to, I think Jim Collins does a great job of explaining this, but a big part there is you are now not just saying, okay, this is what we're doing. There's a difference of that versus like you're a part of what that's going, and you're leading other people now to, by your example of getting them to give of themselves to be a part of it. And, that's a level three to level four, in my opinion, is one of the biggest jumps. And I think this is the process that I am in personally in my life. I want to, I want to be able to be with my people, working right beside them, and they can see the energy and the effort that I'm giving. And hopefully that's encouraging, inspiring them to do the same thing. But this is a big thing, because you notice what happens because of this. The results are what? Higher performances. higher performances. And we all know that. We've all been to a restaurant or all been to a business, you know, a service-oriented type of business where you've got a staff member who, man, they just don't really enjoy being there, and the service reflects that, right? Well, there's probably a lot of reasons as to why they could be tired. Who knows, right? But maybe one of those reasons is their supervisor doesn't even want to be there, you know? And so we have to think through those things. So I think four is where we're now personally involved in this. We are truly giving of ourselves. And because of that, we're going to see some higher results. Anything you want to add there?
Yeah, we spoke about before we started recording, and I said we weren't going to really talk about it, and we won't. I don't intend to, other than to say this, that I would definitely say that you have that that ability to cast vision, right? Compelling vision, stimulating higher performance standards. You know, just what you've done at Jericho, right? Since you've been there, definitely growing, you know, the ministry, growing the ability, the capability, the capacity that Jericho has. And that's huge, being able to show individuals that they're part of something bigger than themselves, right? And it's not simply I'm here to, and this is my sole role. No, understanding this is what is happening. This is the result or the fruit of your labor, and making sure that everybody is able to enjoy that and take part in that, I think is a big part of being an effective leader here that can really catalyze. Okay, man, I'm all in. I want to do this, and this is why, because I know we're out there and we're helping people, you know, or whatever the business may be.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I think that the challenge here from going to four to five is you hear four, maybe you're hearing this, you're like, man, four sounds like the zenith, but there's still another level. And this is what Jim is saying, is like when he did all of his research, this was the number one component was what? Each one of these businesses had a level five. And there's two concepts that I think that are so important right here. They have humility and professional will.
Yeah.
I love the way he writes that in the simplest of terms, where it's like, okay, they are not there for their ego. These leaders, you know, you could see it by, he was, you know, when you read the book, some of the things you'll learn is like, they didn't dress certain ways. They didn't drive certain things. They didn't, you know, have a lot of these trappings that maybe some of us can get attached to. And there's nothing wrong with some of them. I don't want to indicate that, but they weren't there for what? The benefits. They were there to really make this thing great. So there was a humility to them. And then also that professional will. I think it's a fair thing to say that Jim would say that these were the highest, not only were they the highest people in their organization, but they were also the hardest working people in their organization. Nobody outworked them. They would work. And that doesn't always mean, you know, you're working 100-hour weeks. I don't think that's his point, but I think you know how to successfully do this, and you know the energy and the effort it takes to get to this type of result. So I think the key thing that everybody needs to hear is this, is my opinion, and I want to stress opinion. This is not really a book thing here. I think this takes time. I don't think this is something that's just overnight. I don't think this is something that is, I don't even think it's in a year, to be honest. I think it takes time, because I think you have to, there's just a lot of lessons you got to go through, especially if you're going to lead a business, an organization, that we can't expect that you're going to get this all in just a couple of years. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of dedication. You have to face some really highs. You got to face some lows. And you got to be able to come through those things. So I just want to encourage everybody, no matter where they are in the journey, if you don't feel like you're there yet, you know, read through this book, read through this section, but no, it's going to take some time to get there. It's a lot of work.
Yeah. This level five leadership, one of the couple of big things that I took away from this was this idea of, okay, if something goes wrong in the business, right? So it takes a downturn. These level five leaders took the blame. Look at me. It's my fault. I made that decision. I did this. I did that. As opposed to level four leaders, right? When something went down, right? What ended up happening? They ended up saying, well, shifting. You know, it's the circumstance, right? Or it's, you know, these other people around me, you know, he did this, she did that. They're always casting blame as opposed to taking the blame on themselves. That's one. Number two, when the business did really, really well, right? These level five leaders didn't say, look at me, look at what I've done. They said, well, anybody could have done it with this group of people, right? That's their attitude.
But if deflecting it.
Always making sure that we're sharing the credit, right? Not taking it. Again, level five leaders on the level four leaders on the other hand, they were when things went well. Look at me. Well, look what I've done, right? And one of the kind of anecdotes that he gives in the book is about Lee Iacocca. I remember growing up, my father loved Lee Iacocca. When it came to a business professional or a businessman, that's the guy that he would talk about. And, you know, talking in this book, looking in this book, you kind of see that he did turn, it was GM, right? Right. He turned them around and they ended up getting to that level of greatness. However, they weren't able to sustain it because, you know, he started looking at other things, started writing books, right? Look at me, started, you know, focusing on other things as opposed to the business. And so, you know, you have the personal humility, right? Again, it's not all about me. It's about the business, a professional will. I want to see this thing be great. And I just simply want to be a part of that greatness in any way that I can. And again, it's focused on the business and making sure that the business thrives. So those are some of the big points or takeaways, I would say, from that level five leadership. Again, humility is huge. Humility is key. And, you know, you said this is something that takes time. That's something that all of us can work on right now. You know, next time that something goes wrong, hey, let's look at ourselves. What could I have done differently in order to make sure that doesn't happen? At the same time, next time something goes really, really well, let's make sure that we're pointing to others who helped us get there.
Yeah, I think that's great. So I get it. Again, I just want to encourage everybody. We're trying to give you guys a little snapshot into this. We want to give you a teaser, if you will. And we've went a little deeper than just that, I suppose. But I mean, this stuff has been transformational for me. This is, it's really encouraged me. It's really challenged me. It's been with me for years now. And here's the reality again, this stuff takes time. It's hard. You know, especially when you're talking about that humility part, if you come at it and everything starts going well, it's really hard not to say, well, look what I did, you know, but you got to have time to realize, wait a second, it's not just me. There's a lot of things. So I think you added a lot of great things there at the end. So any final point you want to make before we close up?
I don't think so, man. You know, again, we'll move into the first who then what concept in the next episode.
Great. Well, thank you guys so much.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the Winning Edge podcast. Please be sure to check out the show notes for contact information for each of our guests, links to their websites, and links to more information about the topics discussed in this episode. Until next week, happy networking!